Hi, my name is Juliet. I'm the host for this podcast, soon to be called Rabbi Juliet, as of January, the beginning of January. Very exciting for me. And what I do on this podcast is I love talking about the Torah and connecting it with my own life, just like rabbis like to do. We love talking about the stories of the Torah and finding contemporary ways that this makes sense. These ancient books, you know, they don't make a whole lot of sense for us. They're just too old. So here I am. And I've been doing this for a couple of years now. So I'm, anyway, let me talk about this. So today, Lech Lecha, everyone wants to be famous, or so it seems, or at least everybody wants to be recognized for their gifts and contributions. I'm one of those people. Last week, I threw myself entirely into Instagram in a really big way. This is very unlike me. I have refused, especially during the pandemic, to be sucked into the vortex of social media. I have protested when told I needed to get moving on TikTok and Instagram to get my name out there. Not only was I intimidated by it, and I'm still intimidated by it, I also didn't want to have to play the game everyone is playing. It feels like you're in this impossible sea of fish all vying for the same thing. Or maybe that's not the way fish work, but that's how it feels. All these millions of people out there, strangers to me, dancing in front of the camera, inviting everyone into their private lives. I don't want to do that. Not to mention, it's a lot of work and for very little return. But last week, I spent hours studying it. I was on Instagram so many hours. I was watching intently to understand the types of content that people post. I was appalled at the end of the week when I got my screen time report from my phone. Oh my God, it was like 12 hours a day. I was like, what? That's half the day. How is that possible? I don't know what that counts, but you know, I was not sitting on Instagram for 12 hours a day, but maybe it counts also the stuff that you listen to. I don't know. Anyway, the ironic thing was that here I got this huge screen time report. And this is exactly when I talked last week about putting away the iPhone, closing out Instagram, Facebook. Remember I said that last week? Yeah, that's what I said. And here I was doing exactly the opposite. Even when I was with family. I mean, are you laughing now? Yeah. But the funny thing is also that, or the ironic thing is also that my children were encouraging me to do this. My daughter, my older one especially, she's like, Mommy, you got to do this. You got to do this. And she's teaching me how to do it. So with family, yeah, I was doing it with family. And I started asking, I've been asking, like, why do people do this? For what? And they're like, to get a lot of viewers. And I'm like, but why? And they say, to become famous. And I say, but why? And they're like, finally, all they can do is laugh. They're like, to get a lot of people watching. Who cares? I don't understand. Like, I want to understand how people make money from this. Why are you doing this? Well, back in September, I was visiting a friend on the Long Island Sound. I don't know if you remember this. I talked about this. I was enjoying the sand and the sea, and there were mounds of shells washed up on the beach, and I decided to try walking in them. And it was kind of for the fun of it and to see if I could, and kind of for my health. It's like, it's a really good massage. Like, I heard about these Chinese people that walk on little rocks, and it's good for all the acupuncture points. Yeah, it was painful, but I was doing it, and I was like, wow, I can do this. And my friend who was there with me, she was amazed. She's like, what are you doing? Oh my God, this is amazing. She's like, let me film this. Let me make a video of it. And she's not on social media. She doesn't do this stuff. So it wasn't with that in mind. She was just like, I got to video this. So I did a cute little walk for her through the shells. You can find it on Instagram, like Juliet Elkind Cruz. You can find it there. There I am doing a pitch, right? This is all I'm talking about today. So I did this cute little walk for her just for the fun of it. And then I posted it on Instagram just for the fun of it. And then last week I was looking, I was like, oh my God, I got 9,000 views, over 9,000 views. I was shocked. Wow. Last week, before Abraham appeared on the scene, the people built a tower reaching all the way to the heavens. Remember the Tower of Babel? I talked about that last week. They wanted to make a name for themselves. You see the connection I'm making here? Make a name for themselves. In this week's Torah portion, God tells Abraham, still going by Abram, he still has that name, to go forth, lech lecha, leave his family and the place of his birth. And God will make his name great, like the stars in the sky or grains of sand on a beach. Abraham's offspring will be so many, they will be beyond counting. This is what God tells him. But as soon as God singles Abram out, Abram proceeds to act in a way that no leader should act. For his own personal gain, Abram sacrifices his wife by asking her to lie for him. It's horrible. She's so pretty. He fears that they're going to kill him. He's gone down to Egypt. This is way before slavery, okay? And he's like, they're going to kill me and they're going to take you. So could you please, I don't know if he says please, could you pretend to be my sister if they ask? And so in fact, the courtiers report to Pharaoh that there's this beautiful woman, and thinking that she's Abram's sister, the Pharaoh takes her into the palace, and God knows how many years he's there, because it's enough time that she's there, because it's enough time for Abram to become a really wealthy man. Things go really well for him while his wife is, you know, who knows what they're doing with her. I think we can imagine. Kind of making her into a prostitute, right? I mean, ugh. Horrible. Abram's ego and his disregard for his wife's, a woman's, life are so great that he only cares for his own life and welfare. He's never thinking of the suffering that he's causing. Not until God brings a plague upon Pharaoh's house and he's forced to take Sarai and leave with all his wealth. The Pharaoh says to him, why didn't you tell me? Now he's lucky that Pharaoh doesn't kill him. He sends him off. He's like, all right, go take your stuff with you. Take your wife. I can't believe you did this. I mean, he's lucky to be leaving with his wife and his life. Then later, Sarai, still known as Sarai, she's Sarah, still known as Sarai, she's unable to conceive. We all know the story. She falls into a competition with her maidservant, Hagar. Hagar becomes pregnant by Abram. She's like, all right, look, all these years I haven't been able to have a baby. If you go with Hagar, she'll have a baby for you. And, you know, maybe at least that way, you know, I'll give you a child through my maidservant. This is how things worked back then. And Hagar does indeed become pregnant. And then Sarai fears that she will lose recognition as the woman of the house. Speaking of recognition again, which leads her to treat Hagar very cruelly. And further on, there's a battle between various kings. And Abram triumphs. He sends his people out, I don't know, and he wins. He gets his nephew back, Lot. And after the battle, they break bread, they drink wine, and the king of Sodom, all these names, you're going to hear them in the coming weeks, right? Sodom, Sodom and Gomorrah, and this appears here, right? So the king of Sodom offers riches that he has possessed in exchange for for the soul. It doesn't say souls. It's translated as, give me the people, but it actually uses the singular nefesh, which is really interesting. And Abram says, no, I'm not giving you any soul. even though they translate it as people, saying he would never want to be known as the one who sacrificed souls or a soul in exchange for wealth. I wonder if we get, you know, we get that expression, selling our soul to the devil, from this. There must be something in there. I know that there was a commentary by Soloveitchik or something like that about selling your soul, derived from this. So here Abram makes the right decision not to sell his soul for possessions, in exchange for possessions. It's like, I don't want to be known as the one, you shouldn't be known as the one who made me rich. Well, maybe it's easier for him because it's not about a woman. I don't know. You know, the misogyny. Well, then when Abram is 99 years old, God comes to him as El Shaddai, which is an interesting name for God, because El is a very, it's a common, it means God. But Shaddai means breasts. So it's a female, it's a feminine, that's really interesting. So he says, I am El Shaddai, and I've come to, you know, complete the covenant with you. And as part of the covenant, it seems Abram and Sarai become Abraham and Sarah. It also talks about circumcision. This is when Abraham circumcises himself, and all the men and boys, you know, from... this is that painful time. But here's the part that matters to me right now, and that is El Shaddai tells Abram, walk before me and you will be tamim. Walk before me. He doesn't say walk. It's translated as walk in my ways, but it actually says walk before me. And tamim, you will be tamim, can be understood as pure or blameless. But it also carries the understanding of wholeness, meaning all of you, the good and the less desirable parts, the parts that you may not like about yourself. But walk before me with your whole self. Kind of the way we're supposed to come before God on Yom Kippur, with our whole selves, the good and the bad, everything about us. We're not expected to be perfect, but we are expected to bring our whole selves, to live completely and fully as we are, our authentic selves. This is what God desires of us. And you can define God however you want. I don't mean God literally as a man in the sky. I think I've made that clear in the past. I just want to make sure that you understand that. I feel like it's important to say. So, yet... what we mostly see on social media is not this, not people bringing their authentic whole selves. Each one out there is trying to make their name great, trying desperately to be noticed in the sea of people, to appear purely happy, with pure happiness, purely happy and fulfilled and confident. And in my frustration of not knowing how to find those I am meant to serve out there as a rabbi, as a spiritual director, as a ritual person, developer, all of these things, all of these ways, leading services, all of these ways that I am passionate to serve, to bring people to a different state. A different consciousness. This is my goal in the world. And it doesn't feel very pure doing it on social media. But I thought, well, I have to give social media a shot because this seems to be the only way, the way these days. Speaking of walking my way, you know, God saying, walk in the way, in my ways. I want to be noticed so I can make a living on this new path I've made for myself. And I hope so much to be able to find the people I'm meant to serve. And during the pandemic, well, this is just blown up even more. I recently came across a guy named Tony, oh God, I can't remember his last name, but you can find him, from Jewish Black Boy. He's funny. He's done TikTok, lots of TikTok videos. And he's black and gay. And also identifies as an Orthodox Jew. And all of these things really make him stand out. He's American. And he's an educator. He's a Jewish educator. And he works for Hillel. He's a very interesting guy. And I heard him talking on a podcast the other day about how important it is to be completely authentic. See, so this is how I found him, right? I looked him up and then I, you know, went to the podcast. Like one thing leads to another, okay? Right. But he was talking about how important it is to be completely authentic, to bring all of who you are, and to fight against the desire to hide behind a facade. I mean, if anybody out there has been like, he's had to face like being black in a Jewish world that is mostly Ashkenazi, mostly white, right? And being Orthodox as a gay man and as a gay black man, I mean, you know, how much more different can you be? So either you're going to hide behind a rock or you're going to come out and just like be completely who you are. And look at how people love him, right? Like he's bringing such good messages about for equality and against racism and for Jews of color and all of this important work that needs to be done in our country and in the world right now. And he's using this part of himself that's completely authentic. And when I was, you know, in exploring social media as a way to publicize my wares, I've had to really ask myself, what is it I actually want from all of this? Why am I doing it? How do I get my name out there, but also remain authentic to myself? How do I bring my whole self along and not sell my soul while I'm at it? I'm doing this because I'm passionate about it. I'm passionate about Judaism. I've spent many years now developing myself spiritually. It's saved me from despair. It's not healthy to live in despair for the individual or the collective. We have an impact on each other. Our consciousness is spread from each of us to other. It's been scientifically proven. I talked about this last week. Zach Bush. I talked about him. You can look him up. And yeah, like I said last week, our thoughts and consciousness contribute to the consciousness of the whole. So Zach Bush told this amazing story of swimming in the sea. He got lost and he was scuba diving and he kind of ended up going much farther than he thought. And he was like, okay, I got to swim back. And he's like panics a little bit, but then he ends up like finding his way. But then suddenly he's surrounded by this huge school of sardines. And the sardines, he can see that they obviously completely see and sense his every movement. And they can see him. They can sense his movement. He tries to reach out. They swim in this perfect harmony around him. And then suddenly these bubbles appear, and as they clear, he realizes that there are pelicans that are plunging into the water for a meal. They're eating his friends, the sardines, and he's like, oh no, this is his first instinct. Oh no, they've come to eat my friends. But then he hears and senses from the fish, no, wrong. And he realizes that these sardines have a knowing, that they are an integral part of the cycle of life, and that all together they make a contribution to life on Earth. They are part of a much larger cause, and they understand. We as humans are individuals with unique talents and contributions. We're different from sardines we each have our unique talents and contributions. We have that extra something that makes it possible for us to lose sight of the whole. And our society is set up so that we are all scrambling for a living. And in order to make a living, we need to compete and be better, funnier, better known than the next person. Capitalism has forced us to forget our collective responsibility to each other and our environment. It's true that one of our greatest assets as humans is our individual ability to make unique contributions to society, but we need to remember that we are like the sardines in the sea, here to help our greater society flourish, to contribute to the whole. We each need to ask ourselves what messages we're sending out into the world with our work. Is it for a cause that is authentically us? We need to stay focused on our purpose and not get lost in the, I just have to make my name great. For what? So when we say, Lech Lecha, go out into the world, let's make sure we mean, find your way with the greater good in mind. Not to sell our souls while we're at it, just to get 1 million followers. For what? For what purpose? So my blessing for today, for this week, for Lech Lecha, is that we as humans be like one, have this consciousness of one big school of sardines, moving in synchronicity, making our individual contributions for the sake of the collective. And may we say amen. And thank you, and I'll see you next week. And please check out my website, tamid.us, TAMID.us. And you'll see, you'll learn more about me if you want to know. Yeah, so, because I want to have an impact and I'm looking for the people that I'm meant to serve. So please go check it out. And thanks for listening. And if you want to make a contribution, because I am trying to make a living, please go to my website and do that too. Okay, thanks. Shabbat Shalom. See you soon.